This conference is being recorded.
Okay, I'll start over. So in preparing for this call, this 8-day call, we're on day one. One of the first things that I did was I reviewed the registration form. And the first question that we asked you was, what are your greatest challenges? And it was interesting going through them because some of them are very repetitious and some of them I could certainly put into probably three different categories. But I could feel the pain instantly as I start reading these. And a lot of the recurring themes were things like, I'm spread too thin. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. There's not enough of me to go around. You've said things like, I'm worried about my finances. Things aren't happening fast enough. I need to find a niche with all this competition. I mean, I could just feel the angst and the pain and, you know, what you're feeling as I'm reading these things. And then other people ask some great questions about marketing and what about referrals and how do I get clients and how do I keep clients and how do I get them to spend more? And those are all great questions. And then some ask even more specific business strategy and planning questions such as, you know, how do I become known as an expert? How do I start speaking? How do I go from one-on-one to groups? Or how do I transition full-time into training? And how do I hire employees? And when is the right time? And do I offer coaching and nutrition? And these are all great questions, and they excite me, and I love to hear these questions. And what's interesting is that the questions you're asking today are no different than the questions that Phil and I have been hearing for 20-plus years. So regardless of the way our economic downturn might be, these are still the same questions and issues that everyone is facing. So really we're narrowing them down to life management and business management. Those seem to be the biggest issues. But my favorite thing was the second question that we asked you, which was, if all of these challenges were met, then what would you expect? What would be different? And what's great about that is that every one of you said, what would be great is that I'd be making a lot more money, and I'd work a lot less, and I'd be a vacation, and I'd work without losing income, and I'd be able to choose who I work with, and I'd be able to reach more people, I'd play with my kids, I'd have 2 years' worth of living expenses in the bank, I'd get another degree, and, you know, basically a lot of those things come down to having more freedom, which is one of the things that we'll cover on the call. But I love that you ask these questions because it shows me that you know that there's more, but somehow you got stuck. And it doesn't mean you're not smart, or anyone is smarter than you are who might appear more successful, or it doesn't mean that you can't create the resources that you need, but you might need some more information. You might need to be open to some change. You may need to be more coachable. So we're going to be talking to you about some ideas that are going to require you to change. And I want to let you know that change is absolutely possible. And everyone on this phone is a personal trainer. That's what the unique thread is. But you all might be doing something different or some combination. Some are in-home trainers. We've got trainers who work in clubs. Some have their own studios. Some have boot camps. So we have a variety of here. But everyone that we're going to be speaking to today, we're addressing you each as personal trainers. And Phil Kaplan and I have done all of those things. And we are living proof that personal trainers can be respected, that they can earn a respectable income, that they can lead lives that are in line with other revered professionals. And those are some of the things that we're going to talk to you about how you can do these things as well. So speaking of Phil, I'm going to introduce him. And Phil is very, very modest, and he would never brag on himself, so I'm going to do that for just a minute. Phil is a coach who is absolutely, genuinely committed to your success, and he won't even call himself a coach. If you were to meet Phil in a restaurant, he will tell you that he is a personal trainer. But he's a personal trainer that has been so successful because of his expertise, because of the systems he's created, and his perspective is just head and shoulders above anyone in the industry. And I can tell you that from honest experience. I've hired many, many consultants. I've gone to literally hundreds and thousands of seminars and listened to audio programs, but Phil spent over 2 decades studying and really thinking about the business of personal training from every single aspect. He is a true expert, and we're going to talk about some of the people who are touting themselves as true experts, but maybe are not. But Phil's taken just about everything that's been done in the personal training industry. He's studied it, he's done it, he's synthesized it, and he's found out ways to do things a little bit differently, and ways that to do them that are very profitably. So he's an innovator. He's extremely consistent in everything that he does. He never changes course, and he sees the big picture. And that's one of the greatest things about hiring a coach, because we're not emotionally tied to your situation right now. We care about you. We genuinely want to help you. But sometimes when you're too deep in it, it's hard for you to see the changes that you need to make. So in the next 8 days, Phil's going to help you grow in your business and help you enjoy your life as well. And that's honestly what we want you to do. We want to get you to get to that question number two, to the point where you would know that you hit that level of success and you can enjoy all of those things you listed. Phil?
Let me start by telling you that I'm not paying attention to the clock because it's stressing me out, Kel. I keep looking at the clock, and I just made a deal with myself. I'm not looking at the clock anymore. So we may go 75 minutes today because I know I have a lot I want to cover, and I'm going, oh, man, we're never going to cover it all. I'm not looking at the clock. So we might go longer than 75 minutes. I have a message that I want to get out to you, and I'm going to trust my gut as to at what point the message is delivered. So if you blocked out 75 minutes today and the call goes longer, it's okay. You will have received the main impact of the points that I want to make within the first 75 minutes, even if I keep going. You will also, after the 8 days, have access to downloadable audio from the entire program. So anything you miss, if you have to leave at the 75-minute mark, consider that you'll be able to get the extra afterwards when the program is complete. Now, over the 8 days, we will speak in this forum 4 times, this being the first. On the days in between, you can expect me and Kelly to email you what I call directives. They're more than homework assignments. Think of them as missions with a beneficial outcome. Each mission is attached to a beneficial outcome. And even if, when the directive is assigned, you can't make sense out of the link between the assignment and the benefit, you're going to go, well, how's this going to help me? I'm going to ask for your trust. Don't take the directives lightly. The lessons will empower you, but the directives will change you. My intention is simple. As Kelly expressed, I want to help you get to a better place 8 days from now, a place where you can see your way clear to the prosperity that can be the result of your decision to choose personal training as a profession. I'll also tell you at the onset, this program will be complete. There isn't any need to connect with me or connect with Kelly any further after these 8 days. You will have enough tools to achieve anything that you can fathom as possible. But with that said, at the end of the 8 days, there will be opportunities to connect further, one of those opportunities being my Be Better program, the second being a brief but directed consultation with myself and or with Kelly Calabrese. Okay. You should have a pen and something to write on. And I know we don't use pens anymore. We use computers and we use our phones. Get a pen or a pencil or something to write with and something to write on. And I want to make sure that during this call, we have your full attention. No distraction. If there's a television on, turn it off. If you're checking emails, stop. I would guess right now 14 people stopped. You want to give this your all. I know we multitask, you know, and stuff's coming at us from everywhere. But for the next 75 minutes and maybe 75 minutes plus, just direct your attention to the content of this call. Treat this as if it's a workshop and you are sitting 10 feet from me right now in the front row. So now, imagining that you are 10 feet away, you have a front row seat to my 5-second play. Yes, I'm going to perform a play right now. In this play, I'm going to play 2 roles. First, I'll be Buddy, and then I'll be Pal. Why those names? Because apparently I am mistaken for those two people frequently. Wherever I go, salespeople or guys I don't know in the gym say, hey, Buddy, or hey, Pal. Clearly, it is a case of mistaken identity. But for the sake of this play, I think they're ideal names for my characters. Okay, so the play is about to begin. Here we go. Buddy begins. Here's Buddy's line. Hey, Pal, how are you? Now Pal responds. Good, Buddy. And you? Then Buddy's dramatic closing line. Good. Okay, now, I'm going to repeat that dramatic scene, just allowing the dialogue to flow, since you now have connected well with both my heightened acting talents and the characters. Here we go. Hey, Pal, how are you? Good, Buddy. And you? Good. Okay, maybe it isn't much of a play. Maybe it won't make Broadway, but it's a scene that plays itself out every day. I don't know how many tens of thousands of times in workplaces, in health clubs, in shopping centers, in colleges, in bars, at baseball stadiums, in restaurants, and pretty much anywhere that human beings gather. How are you? Good. I hear that a lot. How are you? Good. Hey, man, how are you? Good. Hey, buddy, how are you? Good. How are you, pal? Good. It's so ordinary. Now, ordinary isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing for ordinary people. I mean, if you're an ordinary person, then certainly it's good to be ordinary. As a matter of fact, I think if you ask someone how they are, and they say, good, that might even be a step beyond ordinary. I'll tell you why I say that. I say that because many people answer the question differently. You ask the question, how are you? And they'll respond not with the one word, but with two words. Not bad. How are you? Not bad. Now think about that. It's sort of an odd response, isn't it? It's almost like someone asks you how you're feeling and you say, I don't have pneumonia. How are you? I don't have a venereal disease. How are you? I'm not coughing up thick wads of mucus today. We don't say those things. So why would we think that people expect us to be bad? How are you? A giant python didn't strangle and eat me. Isn't the not bad response suggesting that we'd expect them to be feeling bad? Isn't it sort of weird that societally people do that? How are you? Not bad. I didn't think you were bad. Why would you say not bad? I have studied psychology and influence almost to the point where you might call it an obsession. And I find language to be very revealing. Talk to someone for 5 minutes. And if you know what cues to look for, you can walk away understanding so many things about their mindset, their emotional state, their perspectives, and their momentary potential to do something extraordinary. Now, in all honesty, it is rare that I meet people who are positioned in a given moment to be extraordinary. But I do meet those people. I love connecting with those people. And I believe that you're here because you want to be one of those people. If that is the case, if you want to be extraordinary, let's get clear. You can do extraordinary things. If you're willing to step outside of convention, step outside of the norm, if you're willing to challenge the thinking that brought you where you are today, and if you're willing to invite a sense of adventure into your life that your present mindset might cause you to initially resist, you're going to face a little bit of an internal struggle, and maybe more than a little bit. Because I'm going to pull, and I'm going to push, and I'm going to prod, and a part of you is going to want to go along, and another part of you is going to go, no, 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 don't do that. Now, I don't expect to change you today. I have 8 days to do that. Or perhaps a better way to say it is, if I give this project my all, I can inspire, persuade, and compel you to change your thoughts. And in going through a change in thinking and perspective, you will find a new sense of potential for yourself. So the truth is, you'll do it, not me. Very much as your clients bring about their own results, even though you are the catalyst. You start them. But really, they deserve the credit, don't they? So much as you initiate change in your clients, Kelly and I may initiate change in you. And we don't take that responsibility lightly. But in this 8-day period, accept this up front. It's up to you to make the change. It will not happen by simply listening to the calls. You need immersion. Here's what I know. You can, if you choose, become better than you are right now. You can, if you choose, create a life and a circumstance better than the life you're living today, even if the life you're living today is good or not bad. You can invite an entirely new mindset that gets you reconnected with the fuel and the passion that once convinced you that being a personal trainer was a great idea. Or for some of you, reconnecting with the belief that personal training is your destiny. If you're willing to do the things that Kelly and I ask, both in the lessons and in the directives. Life is about to change for you in ways I can't even begin to predict, but I can promise you this. That juice that you once had, the excitement that you once imagined about loving the life personal training brings you, can come back until you are so immersed in it, you wonder why the passion got bottled up for so long. Now, I know right now, you instinctively want to say, no, Phil, my passion's not bottled up. I still have the passion. It's here. I know you have the passion, but you're a part of this project because you want something better. And when you start to get a taste of what your mind and your ambition are about to bring you, you'll realize how the passion slowly and subtly got watered down as you became surrounded by your present reality. Sure, you could find it if you dig, but it's not like it used to be. I promise you that, and it will be. Whatever the reality that you're living is right now, you can completely change it in these 8 days. Only if you're willing, if you're open-minded, and you're committed. Are you? No need to answer out loud. Or you can answer out loud if you want because you're muted. I'm not asking you so you can answer me. I'm asking you so you'll think about it. Are you really willing, open-minded, and committed? Just decide for yourself. Are you really willing to change? Are you really open-minded enough to accept some new ideas? And are you really committed to betterment? If you just found yourself nodding your head or thinking the words, yes, I'm committed, you've taken the first tiny step. Now, if you aren't sure, then get sure. Remember, we will give you tools, but you're going to have to make this happen, and commitment is a prerequisite. Now, before we go any further, let me prepare you. Going through the type of changes that I'm going to work to initiate will hurt. It will hurt your brain, it will hurt your mind, and whatever voices talk to you from inside your head when you're driving, or after you turn off the television, they will torture you for a few days. And I'm telling you, expect this. Now you're starting to go, what did I get myself into? You start to get yourself into change. And it's a part of the process. It's almost like taking a lifetime golfer who's pretty good or not bad and telling him how to improve his golf swing. It screws him up because you interrupted an automatic process and now he has to struggle with new thoughts and old habits until he creates some new links inside his brain. Only when his brain forms those new communication structures, only when he integrates the new actions beneath the conscious level, will the better swing become automatic. So he will get there, but at first it is mentally and emotionally painful. Expect that same strain to arise in you over the course of the next few days. Would you like to see the state of discomfort I'm talking about? Find someone in your life who says the word like as a placeholder a lot. Their habitual mode of communication sounds like this. And before I attempt this, I want you to know this is material that I gathered this morning as I accidentally eavesdropped on 3 members of my health club while I was waiting for my post-workout reload shake at the juice bar. Okay, I heard somebody speaking just as I'm about to speak to you. As an example, this is just an example of someone's dialogue when they allow the word like to invade their conversations. Here goes. I was like, oh my God. And then he like stands by the mirror, checks himself out, and like totally flexes. So like everyone in the whole place is like working out, and he's like trying to say, notice me, I'm like the personal training god. So I, like, look at him, like, who do you think you are? And he, like, doesn't know what to do. And then he, like, starts walking toward me. And I can tell he's, like, trying to be, like, bad, right? So I just smile, and he asks me if I've ever worked out with a trainer. And I'm like, I know how to work out. That was barely, I'm proud of myself. That was pretty good. That was barely an exaggeration. I don't even think I got enough likes in there. So you know somebody in your life who speaks that way, who just uses the word like inappropriately often for no reason. If you know somebody who does that, just get their attention and say this. Do you know you say the word like a lot? They will literally forget how to talk. I am not kidding. Try it. It's because once you bring something that happens automatically to their conscious attention, they'll keep catching themselves, and they'll try not to say it. And the only way at first they'll know how not to say the word is to stop talking. You want to see them tortured? Tell that person that they say like a lot, and just watch what happens. Then, over the next week or so, one of two things will occur. The conscious mind will choose to forget your comment, and the old habits will again become, like, comfortable. Or that person will make a conscious decision to change. And eventually the mind will rewire itself, and the change will become lasting. Now, I'm not suggesting that changing your language completely changes your outcomes, but if you realize that your language is a reflection of attitudes and instilled habits, you'll realize through a wiring system, it's all connected. I wish it were as simple as just asking you to change your response to the how are you question. It isn't that simple. As a matter of fact, when you ask someone how they are and they say something like, outstanding, and you know people who say that, that's often pretentious. It may be well-intentioned, but it's a surface change. It's not a real change. You know, they went to some seminar and they were told, you know, when somebody says, how are you doing? Just say, outstanding, and your life will change. It's not enough. And when they say outstanding, it's usually smoke. And if you get that person to lower his or her guard, you'll soon be on the receiving end of a complaint attack. Just get past the outstanding and find out what's really going on, and you'll regret that you ever took it that far. So, I will mess with your thinking right now with all good intentions by asking you to recognize two words when they show up in your life. Here they are. The words are but and can't. I've done it. From this moment forward, expect a little bit of mental torture. Recognize the words when they show up, but and can't. Can't becomes a reality. And you will notice it in others as much as you'll notice it in yourself. You'll be surprised how often it shows up in your thought process or even your verbal language. But you'll get really good at identifying the mistake when can't is used too often by other people. When someone says, I can't work out in the mornings. That doesn't mean they can't work out in the mornings. They say, I can't work out in the mornings. You know it doesn't mean they can't. If they're living, breathing, and functioning at 7 a.m., and if they are not bound to a chair or imprisoned by a straitjacket, they can work out in the mornings. They either don't want to, or they don't want to initiate the changes they would have to make in order to work out in the mornings, or they believe they are victims of the circumstances that make up their days. Or, perhaps, they haven't yet opened up to the possibility that they can affect the people and things that may on any given morning prevent them from exercising. The challenge lies in the fact that the word can't is revealing of an instilled belief. The person who says that believes what they're saying. You know it's not true, but to them, 100% true. You know they can, they know they can't. So in their mind, they're right. The challenge lies in changing the belief. Even though you may know this person can work out in the mornings, until you change the belief, the can't becomes a reality for that person. Now you're going to get very good at understanding that and recognizing that in other people. I'm suggesting you hold up the mirror a little bit. Right now you may say, I don't say can't a lot. Okay. But just start to notice. When that voice in your head says, you can't make money as a personal trainer, realize that you have a choice over whether or not you want to keep that belief. You've become very attached to it. It may serve you in many ways. But it's a choice. You can decide. Once you identify it, you can decide, do I want to keep that belief? Is that good for me? And if you want to make money as a personal trainer, the belief has to be destroyed or changed. Now remember this, it may be the most powerful thing I share with you. If you want to change an outcome for any human being, you have to change a belief and or an emotion. That is so vitally important, I'm going to say it again. If you want to change an outcome, you have to change a belief and or an emotion. Now, before you can change a belief, especially in yourself, you're going to want to identify it. And that's why, just as you'll identify how obviously your clients are limiting themselves when they say they can't eat breakfast, or they can't get 6 hours of sleep, or they can't quit smoking, you're now going to catch yourself saying can't. And in the short term, it'll drive you crazy. The other word that's going to catch your attention is the word but. But disregards everything that came before it. Man, I know I should stop drinking so much on the weekends, but... See, the but, as soon as that but shows up, it means, even though I'm telling you I know I should back off on drinking, I'm not going to. But is perhaps more crippling than can't, because you can delude yourself into thinking you're open-minded when you use the word but. Rather than, I can't make money in this economy, you think, I can make money in this economy, but my clients aren't willing to train as often. The two statements have the exact same effect. They are both beliefs that prevent you from pursuing new options. They limit you. They prevent you from seeing new possibility. So the first thing I'm going to do, in fact, I've already done it, is to ask you to start to identify the words but and can't in your own internal and external dialogue. Now, don't drive yourself crazy trying to figure yourself out. Say, why do I do that to myself? Whereas, I can't stop. I can stop, but I can't. Don't do that. You'll make yourself completely nuts, and that's not the goal here. Just notice that these words show up. That's it. That's all I want you to do right now. Just notice them. Together, over the next 8 days, we'll get them to go away. It's got to start with you identifying that they're there. Now, but and can't are much more important right now than the answer to the how are you question. But since I mentioned it, you're also going to now be aware of what you say and what others say when faced with the three words in the question mark. How are you? So if after this call, because I said, you know, everybody says, good. How are you? Good. And that reveals you to be ordinary. How are you? Not bad. You know, and that seems silly. Why would you say not bad? They didn't think you were bad. So now that I've pointed that out, you're going to be aware of it. And somebody's going to say to you, how are you? And you might freeze. Recognize that as evidence that things will be different now. Catching yourself is evidence of a new awareness. Now, when you're asked how you are, and you respond by saying, good, you'll catch yourself revealing yourself to be ordinary, and it will bother you, and that's good. If you want to make it better than good, try something. Try to develop, only for 8 days, a new habit, just for kicks. When someone asks you how you are, answer with a single word. Here's the word. Better. How are you? Better. Now, that's not an ordinary response. And it'll firstly connect you with the sense that things are improving, right? You're going to say better, and you're going to feel that. You're going to, yeah, things are better. Secondly, it'll prompt some questions, some new dialogue in your life. Imagine if people approached you tomorrow and said, hey, tell me how your world is better today than it was yesterday. Right? Imagine if people just came up to you and said, tell me, I'm not asking you if it is, I know it is, just tell me how your world is better today than it was yesterday. That would direct your mind to seek out some new reference points, wouldn't it? By answering how are you with the word better, you'll direct your mind to find the answers to a new question. How is your world better today? So there's a simple directive. Beginning right now, when someone asks you a general question ranging from how are you to how are things going, answer with a single word, better, and just see what happens. Now right now, in this very moment, you can respond by telling yourself, you can't do that. Or it's stupid. And then you realize, when you said, I can't do that, it's stupid, you've confronted the enemy, the word can't. Or you might respond by saying, sure, I could do that, but it won't make a difference. And instantly, you are face to face with your but problem. So, we've touched on mindset. And you're now going to find a bit of stimulating discomfort. Now, let's talk about why we're personal trainers. I'm going to see if I can get somebody quickly to unmute *6 and just tell me in a sentence or two, why did you become a personal trainer? Can anybody do that? Anybody, just *6, say your name. I'll acknowledge you and just tell us why. Who's this?
This is Crystal.
Hello, Crystal. Why did you become a personal trainer?
I became a personal trainer because of my own journey to better myself.
Because of your inner journey to better yourself. Now, why didn't you just continue to better yourself? Why did you feel a need to do something outside of you?
Because when I bettered myself, I was getting confronted on how I did it, and then I helped other people, and I saw that there was a need.
Ah, you helped other people, and you found an emotional reward in that. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Star 6 to mute. If I ask the question a zillion times, and a zillion would be a lot, if I ask the question a zillion times to a zillion personal trainers, and I don't even know if there are a zillion, but if there were, ultimately they would all tell me the same thing. We love helping people. You know what I say to that? It's good. And I mean that. Good. And then they could take it further. They go, we have passion for fitness. Good. Want more? I'll give you more that every personal trainer can say. We understand how to make both short-term and long-term changes in the human body by using interventions incorporating exercise and nutritional shifts. Now, they may not say it in those words, but ultimately that's what it's going to boil down to. And you know what I say to that? Good. Love helping people, have passion, know how to get people fit. Good. Is that enough? Well, it's ordinary. And Crystal, don't take that wrong. It's the beginning. Because you got to be ordinary before you're extraordinary. And I'm sure there's so much more to you. But the statement itself is ordinary. I would say if you pursued a certification and you pursued the acquisition of clients to satisfy your passion, and if you feel there's something emotionally rewarding about spreading the word of fitness, and you're okay with being an ordinary personal trainer, then it is enough. But that has nothing to do with your profession. Now, wait a minute, Phil. How can I be a personal trainer, even an ordinary one, and have you tell me it has nothing to do with my profession? Good question. Let's examine what we mean when we discuss a profession. Here's a dictionary definition. Activity pursued as a livelihood. An occupation such as law, medicine, or engineering that requires considerable training and specialized study. Okay, now, even if you're just training people for kicks, it is possible that you have considerable training and specialized study, but let's not forget the first part of that. Activity pursued as a livelihood. A profession isn't a hobby. There are people who fish because they love to. And there are people who fish because they're hungry. And there are people who fish because they get paid. It's their livelihood. They are fishermen or fisherwomen or fisher people. It is possible to fish and not have it be your profession. Likewise, it is possible to personal train and not have it be your profession. Profession is linked with livelihood. Livelihood is a source of self-support, a source of sustenance. So we have to add in, if we do want to pursue personal training as a career or profession, that it must allow us enough compensation so we can sustain our lives. If it doesn't, it is not your profession. Now, I know that I'm kind of treading on some weird territory here because there are some personal trainers, maybe some of you, who feel that the pursuit of money is somehow degrading or that it runs counter to the good that we do for people. So I would say if you feel that way, if you really, really feel that way, and you want this to be your profession or career, then I'm not asking you to be a rich personal trainer. If that goes against your grain, don't be that. But at the very least, it has to bring you enough compensation so you can afford food, shelter, and whatever you deem necessary. Now, of course, if you want cable, there's a fee for that. Or wireless, there's a fee for that. And if you want to eat in restaurants sometimes, there's a fee for that. So you've got to make that decision. Do you want to get compensated just enough to survive? Or do you want cable and wireless and dessert every once in a while in a restaurant? Now, I'm not suggesting that we see our clients as vehicles to allow us luxuries, but I will say this. You have an ability and a power that most people can only wish for. I want you to appreciate that. You can deliver extreme value to others, extreme value. And if you are simply compensated as you deserve, then you have the ability to get the things that are important to you, not by ripping people off, but by bettering the lives of others. You have the ability to get the things that are important to you by bettering the lives of others. If you're really passionate about personal training, then revel in the fact that you can do what you love, make people happy, and as a result, if you accept some new emotions and new beliefs, you can, in the process, acquire whatever things and outcomes will make you feel a sense of reward, a sense of significance, and a sense of pleasure. So let's reframe. If you are compensated fairly for being of service to others, if you are justly paid for the good you do, personal training can become your profession and can take you way beyond sustenance into a place of comfort, a place where you work hard and you love working hard and you never feel you have to look outside of your career for the power to get the things you want in life. Let's call that state a state of professional prosperity, a place where you love what you do, you are compensated fairly, and what you do for a living allows you the power to do the things you want to do. Kelly used the word freedom earlier. It's a great word. That's what it is. Wouldn't it be nice if your choice of becoming a personal trainer really gave you ultimate freedom? It's a choice that if you haven't made yet, make it now. Here's the best part. Growth is self-perpetuating. If you allow your power to change other people, if you allow that power to flow, and you're compensated fairly, if you redirect some of that power back into your ability to help people, and you continue to deliver value, and you continue to find just financial reward. And this is such an important part of it. The giving out is important. I know all of you do that. But you've got to make sure that it is coming back to you, at the very least, in line with what you put out. So if you continue to deliver value and find just financial reward, you continue to grow only by helping more and more people. And if you're going to tell me you can't do that, or you can, but recognize what's happening here. Here's a simple way to frame things. This is the way I frame things in my 8-month Be Better program. Your business should be the source of your prosperity. Your business should be the source of your prosperity. Let me ask you a question. Who are you? Who are you? If the answer was, I'm a personal trainer, that's nice. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not bad. But it's unhealthy if the vision is to have this become and remain your career. If I ask you what you do for a living, then it's noble to say you're a personal trainer, and it's healthy. But if you are your business, you're going to crash and burn one way or another. Has anyone here ever felt the conflict of your business and life being too intertwined? I don't want you to unmute yet, but I'm going to ask somebody in a minute. If you could just unmute and give me an example of an episode in your life, not yet, where you had a hard time finding the boundaries, where it felt like it's all the same, who you are and what you do. Maybe a friend asks you to train them for free. So now, are you the friend or are you the trainer? And if you're the trainer, shouldn't you be paid? But how could you get paid? It's your friend. It's confusing. Or maybe someone takes advantage of your time by asking ongoing fitness questions. And sooner or later, you want to go, stop asking me. This is what I do for a living. But you don't, because you don't have the boundaries. Or maybe a client asks you to a social event, and his or her friends all expect free advice about fitness. And you want to go, hey, I'm here to have fun. Leave me alone. I'm not at work right now. But you don't do that. You just give the free advice. On one of our calls, Kelly and I discussed the concept of we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. You've heard that saying, and it's true. We reap what we sow. But that doesn't mean, as a personal trainer, you're going to become a missionary and just help everybody and find money in your bank account. You can become a missionary if that's what you want, but the money won't show up in your bank account. So we got to qualify that reap what we sow statement. You have to know what you're trying to reap, and you have to sow with that end in mind. If you sow free sessions, you reap $0.